Well, today is a Christchurch show. Free Theatre presents the Maurizio Carver Project this Thursday and Friday as part of the Christchurch Arts Festival. The Argentinian composer and filmmaker was a leading proponent of theatre in music, exploring the physical and visual ways in which musicians can perform. Composer and pianist Gao Ping is back in Christchurch for this week's performances, and he joined Hamish McKeach in our Christchurch studio a couple of hours ago. Gao Ping told me firstly about his involvement with Free Theatre and its director, Peter Falkenberg.
He said he wanted to do something like a retrospective of Cargo's work. So over a beer, I just said yes, and thoughts might or might not happen, but actually last year they got some funding and stuff, so yeah, so we're here.
So all these years later, this will be 5 or 6 years by now, mustn't it?
Not quite, maybe 4 years before I left for China.
Yeah.
In 2012, yeah, 2012.
Hamish, I was just reading about Cargill, and the thing that came up, one of the adjectives used to describe him were fantasy, humour and originality, and I thought you might like to elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cargill as the composer is basically he composed with the visuals in mind, the visuals of people playing music, and it obviously spewed out into theatre for him, and so he rides two worlds, theatre world and music world. He sort of brought them together. That was his real meaning throughout his compositions. So it's very hard to get a hold of the music when you hear it, because it's visual. It's supposed to be visual anyway. And he brought a lot of humour into absurdist humour. It was quite abstract humour, which can or cannot be funny, depending on your mood.
I saw it described as very Germanic.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, he was Argentinian, but obviously with German heritage.
Things so seriously that you see the funny side.
Yeah.
Is that what it is about, sort of really being absorbed in what
certainly,
you do?
Certainly dry. It's a very dry humour.
Yeah. And as Gao Ping said, it's about the musicians becoming the actors.
That's right. And some people might see it as being dated, what he did, but some things work quite well. But, of course, he likes the musicians to be out of their comfort zone, and he doesn't want trained acting, doesn't want trained dancing, doesn't want trained music, just about. So he likes it to be fresh. And the interesting thing about him is that he spent a lot of time notating this music. It's a very detailed notation, so it looks like a full-blown contemporary work. And then at the end of most of his instructions, he says, oh, and by the way, you know, it's all ad lib in terms of pitches and rhythm. So
it's all notated, it's all there,
yeah,
but then you start to improvise and go your own way.
Yes, and he was obviously very keen to encourage that side of it, and I suppose he worked a lot with theatre musicians as well as fully trained classical musicians, and to sort of bring them together, you got to allow a lot of freedom.
You have to get the right sort of people then, don't you, who don't mind feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Exactly, yes. So
you're perfect. Both of you are just perfect, aren't you?
I don't know.
What do you think, Gupping?
We'll see. Yes, we are.
Yes. And you've been writing pieces as well to incorporate within this, haven't you?
Yes. As a kind of a response to his work. I originally thought I would do something like the way he does things, but finally I just did what I wanted to do. But they are kind of light music, a little bit circus-like, some of them. Peter especially said something about Chinese. He's interested in Chinese opera. He did once Faust for Chinese opera style, so that's kind of interesting. So I included a little bit kind of Chinese operatic tunes, that kind of thing, in there.
Who's doing the singing?
We have a singer.
I thought you were going to tell me that you were going to sing.
They have a singer.
Because you like singing, don't you?
Yes, I like to sing.
Because when you play, you always do a bit of vocalization.
That's right. Yeah.
So here's the perfect opportunity.
Yes, actually, I might do one number for solo piece that where I sing also.
Oh, good. So that I can... Is Hamish going to know about this beforehand, or is this going to really be improvised?
Oh, yes, a certain amount of improvisation is encouraged in this show. I mean, we have Emma Johnson, who's part of the Free Theatre, but she also sings. So she'll be singing. So and in fact, George Parker may be singing as well in the tango piece and part thereof. So it's
he's the producer, isn't he?
Yeah.
But also performer?
Yes. Well, he's just snapped his Achilles 2 days ago, so he's going to be performing in a wheelchair.
Oh,
Ping about a show which channels the work of the Argentinian composer Maurizio Cargo on as part of Christchurch Festival. So how do you rehearse this, Hamish?
Well, we sort of got together last week and started to rehearse the music. And it, I think that Peter really wanted to work on some pieces that were like chamber ensemble, chamber orchestra. So we've spent time knocking it down into a more free-flowing piece of music that people can grasp onto at this late stage. We're doing the music, getting the music, and then the theatre pieces, or the theatre, the movement, should I say, they come on as we were rehearsing.
Because as far as I understand it, Cargill saw music and theatre as sort of interdependent, and what he really wanted to do is sort of shake music out of its predictability.
Yeah, indeed, and he does, doesn't he?
Yes, he certainly does. Yeah. Yes, he tries to break the boundaries. Yeah,
yeah.
And the musicians playing the instrument itself, he sees as a kind of acting already.
Yeah, very visual. And it's his phrases are they never repeat. He always changes the notes around every time a version of a phrase comes. It's always different. All the way through his pieces, actually. He's always trying to sort of... it's almost restless from his point of view.
Yeah.
So how does a conductor work with that? Because, I mean, normally you've got a score and everything's relatively predictable, you know, good or bad, but you know where you're going. Do you always know what the end will be?
No, and I suppose you... I mean, some pieces are notated and we're doing that, but the other pieces will be just more freeform in terms of you go and there are sections and structures and I'll be curing those sections and we would have worked out roughly what people can do within those sections and what sort of noise we need to make in those sections. Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever done anything like this before, Galping?
Yes, I've done improvisations and I've done group improvisations, and that's very fun and something I really like to do. So in six pieces I wrote for this show, there are parts where I know the player who improvise very well, so I give them some chance to do a bit of improvising as well. So yes, it's all kind of finding out who can do what in a way through the rehearsals and let them do their best.
And how are they reacting?
What do you think?
What do you think, Hamish?
Yeah, we're acting pretty well.
Well, yeah. We're sort of days away from the first.
Well, you know, most concerts you only get two rehearsals if you're lucky. So you could say these people are lucky and getting more.
Yeah, but you would need more for this.
Of course,
theater. You need that time to absorb what's going on. Yeah.
So, what's the vocabulary of the movement, particularly? I mean, we've talked about the sounds. What about the physicality?
Of the players?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah, well,
as actors,
as
musicians.
Well, Yeah, look, I think that that the blurring of the lines comes from the dancers and the actors who also play instruments.
What sort of instruments do they play?
Oh, there's this flute and there's tambourine and
there's
singing.
Yes.
Singing and so a lot of our players, I mean, we are moving around the venue, but we have sort of set places to go and play because of obviously our instruments. In that way, that's what we're doing for this particular show.
At the time that he wrote this, you know, early 60s or most of his career sort of through that post-war period, when people were sort of trying to find new ways of connecting with music and with theatre, the whole Dada thing, sort of he channeled that a bit, which had come from earlier in the 20th century. Hamish, I mean, what about now? How do we react to this sort of thing now when we've almost seen everything?
Well, I think the good thing about doing this type of show, and Peter Falkenberg is great in this, in that he does make it his own. So he's pulling these different bits of music from Cargill, and I think if you take one piece like Stadttheater, which is it's a huge work, but it may be perceived as dated. So what he's doing is pulling these things from different pieces and actually turning it into something that's relevant now, or more relevant now, and making sure it's perceived as that.
Is it kind of like cabaret? Is that a sort of way of describing it? How would you describe the style, either of you?
Not exactly,
Absurd cabaret.
Yeah, absurd, yes. It's like a caricature of cabaret something.
Yeah, and there's certainly, I think the whole evening's based on Playback Play, which is a CD which Cargill took part of with Musique Fabrique in Cologne. And it's like you're in a music fair and there are these different booths of different things going on. And a certain amount of audience reaction can be encouraged.
As he said he's selling contemporary music, right? He said in his fair, fair.
And selling different instruments that you've made up. And so the scope is pretty wide.
So what do you think audiences today will get out of it that maybe you wouldn't have got back in the 60s?
Well, I don't know. Wait and see. I mean, the immediacy.
Well, what about the performers then, Hamish?
Well, the performers. Well, I think the immediacy of what we're doing hopefully can be related to now, and that we and when we say improvisation, it's still improvisation around Cargill's music. So it's not going to be full blown.
And how many pieces are there?
Well, we're getting snippets from about 4 or 5 of his pieces. Well, there's a tango. There's Tanzschule, which is like a different medieval dances, which he's arranged some of the medieval melodies for. We're doing 3 of those. And there's the contra dance for the dancers.
And then how does Scalping's work fit with that? Do you do them in 2 different halves, or do you mix it all together in Dada-esque manner?
There's a certain Cargill versus Ping.
Yes.
Is there?
Yes.
Oh,
a match. Because there's a piece by Cargill for 2 instruments, a cellist or marimba player or something like this. It's called match. Mm. So the idea is they play and there's a contest. And perhaps we'll let the audience, vote.
Yeah.
So it will be quite, like a fair, really.
Yes,
like a
that's
fair.
That's right.
So it'll be like a circus.
That's a part of that throughout the whole evening.
Because what Cargill wanted was for audiences to react. No being passive here.
No.
That's right.
No, so the most you can hope is, Hamish, is that you stimulate them beyond, you know, they'll be jumping out of their seats and dying to adjudicate.
That's right. And there's a piece called Exotica, which we're doing some solos for, which is for voice and instrument. It's like one person, obviously. And maybe 5 or 6 of us will be doing the same piece at the same time around these booths. And I think it's encouraged later on
in the
evening.
Have you rehearsed that with that Going Insane?
Oh, we rehearsed it.
Did you?
People got to practice it at home, yeah. But people got, you know, the audience may participate.
Oh, I see.
Should they wish. Possibly. But it's up to them.
What do you think?
You hear some very interesting singing and vocal sounds there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone to compete with you, Galping?
You mean, well, we're talking about Exotica.
Exotica, yeah.
So I know. That's exactly what I mean.
Solo, solo player would make sounds, yeah.
Hopefully, maybe you'll do one of the solo pieces.
Yeah, I'd love to do, yes. Yeah. But finding our instrument,
yes.
Which, of course, I don't know.
The idea
is I don't know how to play it.
Exactly, and part of Exotica is that you have an instrument that you don't know that well, and you vocalise with it as well. But he writes that out quite methodically.
And this is all done terribly seriously. We're not taking the piss.
No, I think it's pretty serious, yeah. Good. But it's going to be tricky for people not to laugh.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Well, I wish you a happy time.
Yes, it should be really interesting.
Certainly will be.
Yeah, and so it's on Thursday, Friday evenings as part of the work in progress at the Christchurch Arts
Why work in progress? Because there never is an end?
there is never an end, but we're planning bigger things in a couple of years.
Mr. Nandor Goods. Mr. Nandor Goods. Please contact stand 314 in Hall G immediately. Mr. Alban Wesley. Mr. Alban Wesley. Mr. Jan Bobinek. Please contact stand 314 in Hall G immediately. Mr. Bruce Collings. Mr. Melvin Poor. Please. Mr. Melvin Poor. Mr. Thomas Osterdikoff. Mr. Seth Josel. Please contact stand 314 in Hall G immediately. Mr. Alvarez, Paulo Alvarez. Mr. Jeffrey Wharton. Heinrich Scroball. Mr. Heinrich Scroball.
Ensemble Musique Fabrique performing Cargill's Playback Play. And I was speaking to conductor Hamish McKeach and composer pianist Gao Ping about their part in the Maurizio Cargill project on this Thursday and Friday at the Christchurch Festival Studio in the Arts Centre. And we've had some excellent feedback from Maurice Reviol, who remembers a Cargill work from the Frankfurt Vista in 1989 when the composer hummed into a glass of water, followed by a rebroadcast of a black and white television broadcast of the same work. Thank you very much for getting back to us, Maurice. Very nice to hear about these real incidents that made such an influence on your life.